right, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. This has actually never happened to me before, but Brother Caleb, could you go on the printer and grab my notes for me, please? While he's doing that, we'll be able to get started in the message here tonight. What do they call that, extemporaneous preaching, when you don't have notes? Is that what they call that? Yes. Good thing we wear deodorant. Sometimes people get sweaty when they get nervous and so on. They get all worked up about things. I try not to, but you know, this is maybe isn't one of those things. I was going to just try to get through the sermon without them, but I thought, you know, I might as well just fess up to everyone and let everybody know that I forgot my notes. All right. Psalm 100. We're going to read the entire psalm tonight. And yes, there are 6 pages, but that usually doesn't mean anything. You ought to see Brother Humphrey's notes. He has like 12 or 14. And he usually gets through it, so. All right, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Tonight, we're going to think on this psalm, a thanksgiving psalm. Next Thursday, we celebrate Thanksgiving, and it's really always appropriate for us to be reminded of the fact that we have so much to thank the Lord for. Maybe one of the most beautiful psalms for on the subject or the thought of thanksgiving is this psalm, the 100th psalm. And if we are honest tonight, we would all have to say that we as a nation, as a people, as individuals, have been truly blessed by God. There's not any one of us, if we are honest, that would say the Lord has not been good to us and would say that we don't have reason to be thankful unto the Lord and of all the people who should give thanks unto Him and praise His name. Listen, we should be at the top. And certainly no one has a right to make a claim against God, but it's true. We ought to be at the top of the list of people who are quick to give thanks unto the Lord. We have so much from the Lord. And you know how people make lists, like for the holiday, for Christmas, for example. It's not uncommon to make a Christmas list or to make a list of New Year's resolutions or whatever you want to call it. Sometimes it would be really even better for us to compile a list of thanksgiving instead. Maybe a Thanksgiving Day list is not something that is a common thing, but maybe it should be. Maybe it should be. You know, we'll sit around the table and we'll say one thing that we're thankful for at Thanksgiving. And typically that's where it stops. And really every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving unto the Lord. I was just thinking along that line of a thanksgiving list, and I actually typed it in on the computer, Googled it. And there was actually some funny thanksgiving lists that came up. And one of those was a housewife and her Thanksgiving Day list. And on her list, it said she was thankful for dishwashers, automatic dishwashers, because it makes it possible for her to get out of the kitchen for a few minutes before the family comes back in for their after-dinner snacks. How often does that happen in Thanksgiving? You know, you have your main meal and start watching football, and a couple hours later, you're back in there ready for round two or snacking all day long. Actually, that is something we should thank the Lord for. We are bountifully blessed that we have the ability to do that. She said, thankful for a husband who attacks small repair jobs around the house because it usually makes it big enough to have to call in the professional. I thought that was funny. She says, I'm thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. It's such a joy to have them around, and you hate to see them go home to their own parents. I'm like, that one is true. That one is true. I'm thankful for teenagers because it gives me an opportunity to learn a second language. And she says, I'm really thankful for smoke alarms because it tells me when the turkey is done. There's some funny things like that, but you know, if we were to actually make a Thanksgiving list, what would yours include? Probably we would start with, I mean, we're probably all pretty similar here. We would probably start with the major things like I'm thankful for life, I'm thankful for health, thankful for my family, thankful for my friends, you know, things like that. And we could even say I'm thankful for the country that I live in, despite its flaws and the direction it's going. But then we would say, you know, I need to be spiritual. So even more than that, I'm thankful for my salvation, which we ought to be, amen? Every day of our life, we ought to be thankful for our salvation. Thankful for my church family. We ought to be. It is a blessing from the Lord to be a member of a scriptural New Testament church. That is a privilege and a blessing and an honor from the Lord. I'm thankful for those things. Maybe we would say I'm thankful for the mercy that God shows to me every day. And the truth of the matter is we could just sit and list and list and list thing after thing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have so much to celebrate and to thank the Lord for. Next Thursday, we'll again pause to give thanks. And one would assume that because of the example of our forefathers, because of the fact that we have so much, that we would be extremely thankful people. But often it's just the opposite. You know, the more that we get, the less thankful sometimes we become. The more that we have, the less mindful of God we are. And those things don't satisfy, and then there's more that we want. You know, the nation of Israel had a similar problem, and the Lord, hold your place here in Psalm 100, but go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look what God said to the nation of Israel. You see the blessing of God, but you see the tendency of sinful men in the middle of it all. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. So you see the hand of God, the blessing of God, the love of God here. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Here he states very plainly, they're going to be blessed with all of these things. It's so important to keep God in the forefront. It's so important to keep the things of God in the forefront, to talk about it, to put it on your doorpost, to let it be frontlets between your eyes, to focus on the Lord, because when you come into the land and you're blessed with all of these things that God has blessed you with, you forget the Lord, that it was God who gave it to you. The more we get, sometimes the less thankful we become. Two chapters over in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Here he says, when you're blessed and you're full, you need to remember where it came from. Bless the Lord. Thank him for what he's done. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Wow, it's pretty powerful portion of Scripture there, illustrating the tendency of men and how easy it is in the midst of all of our blessings to forget the Lord, and even to turn around and take credit. I mean, where would the children of Israel be? Still in bondage? Dead? Even walking through the wilderness, they would have never survived without God continually blessing them in spite of their rebellion, in spite of their complaining. The point is, you would think that we would be extremely thankful people, but so often it's just the opposite. Go back to Psalm 100. And I think the 100th Psalm was written to deal with this attitude of forgetfulness, to remind us of our need to be thankful unto the Lord, to maintain a spirit and an attitude of thankfulness unto the Lord, gratitude to God. We're going to consider basically just two things, the basis of our thanksgiving in this passage. And then we're going to look at how this passage gives five thanksgiving commands in it. And we're going to look at these things tonight and make some application. And the prayer is tonight that our hearts would be turned to the Lord. Amen? And we'd be thankful unto Him and we'd bless His name. First of all, consider the basis of our thanksgiving. We could read the entire psalm here again, and for the sake of time, we won't do that, but we'll walk our way through it in just a moment. But the 100th Psalm here, it starts out with, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. It comes down to verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. You can see what the emphasis of the psalm is. It's thankfulness and it's thanksgiving. And it's unto God. And we'll talk, and here's the thought, and we'll work our way through it here. But the basis of our thanksgiving is actually the Lord Himself. The 100th Psalm was written to the people of Israel, where God said to them, when you come into the promised land and you settle down into your warm homes and you got plenty to eat and you're thriving and you're multiplying, don't forget me. I led you in the wilderness. I brought you into this land that is flowing with milk and honey. I have blessed you over and over and over again. Don't forget me. But it doesn't take very long to realize that the people of Israel needed reminders. And I'm afraid that we do too so often. Maybe God had us in mind when this psalm was penned, when it was written. Did you notice here to whom this psalm is addressed? In verse 1, he says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Go down to the end of the psalm. "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." The message of thanksgiving unto the Lord is so deep and wide, listen, that it applies to every person in every stage, in every era of life. There's no one and no generation and no people who should not give thanks to the Lord. Listen, as far as I know, the United States of America is one of only three countries that actually has a Thanksgiving as a holiday. Canada and the Philippines, I think, are the only other two. That's pretty sad. I wonder how the world would change if nations would begin to observe a Thanksgiving. Two thoughts come to mind with this. There is something, and we know this to be true, there is something about giving thanks together unto God that really breaks down barriers between people and brings about unity. We experience that in our church. We have something in common. It's the Lord. It's Jesus Christ and His goodness to us. And we'll stand up and we'll talk about how God is good to me and God has blessed me this way. And I want to praise Him and thank Him. And listen, your heart is blessed by listening to what God did for someone else. We sit around campfires and we talk of the blessings of God and the goodness of God. And there's something that knits our hearts together when we do that. It breaks down barriers. It brings about unity. I wonder how much the world would change if that were something that were ever to take place. But there's another thought that comes to mind with this. Because when we're talking about this issue of Thanksgiving, because many times people base whether or not we are thankful based upon the things that we get or the way that we assume or we perceive that we are blessed. Does that make sense? Sometimes the basis for our thanksgiving is on how much we have. Do I have enough food to be able to gorge myself and others this holiday season and Thanksgiving? Is the money in my bank account secure? Boy, I'm really thankful for that, for this nest egg that I have. Am I healthy? Are you following me here? I am so glad I'm healthy. At least I think I am. But here's the point. We let things determine whether or not we're thankful. And all of those things are so temporal. And we have this temporal mindset about us. And listen, the truth of the matter is, all of those things could be gone tomorrow. All of those things could be gone the next day. We could have some money in our bank, but our health is gone. We could have some health, but we don't have any money. We can't do anything. You know, because, and we complain or we grumble and we don't feel thankful if we don't have things. The only thing that we have for sure, friend, is our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just scan over this psalm for a second and see what it emphasizes. In verse 1, you'll find the name of the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In verse 2, you'll find the name of the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. In verse 3, you'll find the name of the Lord. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. In verse 4, it tells us to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, to be thankful unto Him and bless His name. In verse 5, you find the name of the Lord, for the Lord is good. The basis of our thanksgiving is the Lord. The Lord Himself. He blesses us with Himself and with His presence. I don't know if you have heard of Roots at all. I'm sure you have. There's a movie series made out of it, books. Alex Haley is the author. And there's a story about him where he had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. And it was a picture of a turtle that was sitting on top of a fence post. And someone asked him, said, what's with that picture? Why is that there? And Haley answered, he said, every time I write something significant, or every time I read my words that I've written and think that they're wonderful words, and I begin to feel proud of myself or what I've created, I take a look at the turtle on the top of that fence post, and I remember that he didn't get there all on his own. He had to have some help. And the truth of the matter is, we are the most helpless creatures just about that there is. If it wasn't for the Lord, we would have nothing. Amen? The reason that we ought to be thankful is because of the Lord. And the end of the passage says to be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. He's good to us. His mercy is everlasting. The very reason we ought to be thankful is not because of all the things, the health, the money, the whatever. We've been blessed. The reason we ought to be thankful is just because of the Lord Himself. But then we see in this passage five Thanksgiving commands. And I'll try to be brief when I go through these. I'm already thinking I'm on page three already of our notes, I think. So, five Thanksgiving commands. Look at verse 1. The first one is here in verse 1. The command is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know what that phrase means, make a joyful noise? It means to shout with the force of a trumpet. Here's a command. Make a joyful noise. That's hard to do with Alaskans. You are the most stoic people on the planet, right? Planet right here. Man, I think I say something good. I'm expecting an amen out of that. Someone to say, amen, I agree with that. And it's like crickets. You know? I'm like, well, I need to do it unto the Lord, not for amens. I got over that right away. I'm used to it now. There should have been crickets right then, not an amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The shout with the force of a trumpet. Shout for joy to the Lord. Listen, it's a shout that comes from the depth of your being. It's a legitimate thing. It's sort of like a response that is overwhelming that happens. Why should we make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Well, first of all, He saved my soul. Amen. Maybe there's a particular blessing of God in your life. Maybe there's a real problem that the Lord intervened and solved for you. Maybe He's given you direction in the way that you ought to go in pursuing something in life. Maybe there's something that you have longed for that the Lord has withheld, and then maybe He's provided that blessing, and in His time you've realized that blessing of God, and it's something that came from Him, and it should cause us to say, thank you, Lord, to shout with that. The sound of a trumpet, make that joyful noise unto the Lord that comes from the depth of your being, that you proclaim praise to God. There's a story that tells of a veteran missionary who came to a man named Roland Allen one day, and he was a preacher, and after Pastor Allen delivered his sermon, this missionary comes up to him and he introduces himself and he says, I was once a medical missionary for many years in India. And I served in a region where there was progressive blindness. People would be born healthy with healthy vision, but there was something in that area that caused people to lose their sight as they matured in life. And it was a chronic problem. But the missionary had worked very hard to develop a process that would arrest progressive blindness. And so people would come to him and he would perform his operation on them, and they would begin to realize that they would have become blind in their life, but now they're going to be able to see for the rest of their lives. And he said, no one ever said thank you. And the reason they didn't say thank you was because that phrase did not exist in their dialect. Instead, they spoke a word to him that meant, I will tell your name. And so wherever they went, they would tell the name of this missionary who had cured their blindness, and they had received something so wonderful from him that they realized how thankful they were, and they had to tell people. Remember how people responded when Jesus cured them of their blindness in the Gospels? Or how the lame man who had that infirmity for 38 years could never get up and walk. Jesus spoke a word to him and healed him. And the Bible says that he leapt for joy, and how the blind man had to go and tell people, I don't know, I used to be blind, but I know that I can see now, and it was Jesus who did it for me. The joyful noise that just comes out because of a thankful heart. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. When we realize that God has been so good to us that we can't keep it inside anymore. And from the depth of our soul, we shout for joy unto the Lord. That's what really makes a powerful and effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? One who is so thankful for what God has done for me, I got to tell you. The second command here is in verse 2. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say serve the church. It doesn't say serve the preacher. Serve the leaders. It says serve the Lord with gladness. Think about that for a second. What a privilege to be able to serve the Lord. Amen? Not crickets. Say amen to that. That's a good one. What a privilege to serve the Lord. You know what? Some people serve out of obligation. Some people serve out of guilt. Some might serve to bring attention to themselves. So often, that's identified by the attitude that comes along with it, what their motives in serving are. But the psalmist says, in whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Sometimes serving the Lord requires some sacrifice. How discouraging to others when there's an attitude because the sacrifice that is required of me interferes with what I want. Man, we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. God has saved my soul. He's given me purpose. He's given me new life. Here's an opportunity to bring glory to Him. I want to, and I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to serve God. Thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, for giving me purpose in my life. Thank you, Lord, for giving me ability. Help me magnify you. But here is a service opportunity, and what comes with it is some grumbling, some complaining. Man, that's really eaten into my time frame. It's not really what I want to be doing. Where's the gladness for serving the opportunity to serve the Lord? Amen? The third command is in the second part of verse 2. It says, come before his presence with singing. Come before his presence with singing. Have you noticed here in these first three commands that God says, I want you to be happy, I want you to shout with joy, I want you to serve with gladness, I want you to come before me with joyful songs. If we could capture a picture at any given service, do you look happy? From what I see up here, or you just sit there with scowls on the face. All too often, the face betrays what's in the heart. A truly thankful heart is going to be a joyful heart. Often one with a song in it. You know how when you are walking with the Lord and you're filled with thankfulness and joy to the Lord, you just wake up in the morning and there's this song that's running through your head. All day long, this song is running through your head. And you stop and you think about it and you're like, man, I've been singing this song all day long. But it's a song of praise unto God. That's a reflection of what's going on in the heart. But you know what? When we're grumpy and when we got a scowl on our face, we don't seem to have any joy. That's a reflection of what's going on in the heart. But a thankful heart is going to be a joyful heart. Come before his presence with singing. The psalmist says to come before him and to serve him and to sing his praise with joy in the heart. How could we not when we have a heart of thankfulness to the Lord? The fourth command is in verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. No, that's not exactly right. Verse 3 is what I meant, not verse 4. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Here's the command to know that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. The first part of verse 3 tells us to know that the Lord is God and it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Think about this. God took every bone. He took every joint. And he welded it all together with the sinews and the muscles. He covered it with skin. He gave you eyes to see. He gave you a brain to think with. He gave you hands and fingers to move and to operate, to pick things up, feet to walk, and so on. God made us, the Bible says here. He's God. He made us, and not we ourselves. He made us inside. He made us out. He made you the way that he wanted you to be. He made me the way that he wanted me to be. But you know what? There's a big mystery here. Why? I don't understand why. But somehow in God's providence, he decided that I should be a living soul. Are you thinking about this? Why do you exist? God in his providence decided that you should be a living soul. And so he made you. And he made me. We have nothing to do with our existence. It's all the Lord. And we have nothing to boast in, but everything to be thankful for. What a mystery. Why did God decide that I should exist? I'm glad that he made me. But you know what else I'm glad for? That he's still making me. He's not satisfied with an unfinished product. He's not satisfied with my temper. He's not satisfied with the weak areas of my life. He's not satisfied with yours either. And so he's still making you and he's still working in your life. So much to be thankful for. And then he says, we're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Most of us want to be the shepherd, not sheep. It's not any fun being sheep, we might think. Problem is that we would not make good shepherds. We don't know where the water is good and the pastures are green. But he does. He restores our soul and he leads by still waters and green pastures. Listen, every time we go searching for those green pastures, we invariably end up in a far country in need of a shepherd. Amen? And he's saying, you be the sheep. Let me be the shepherd, and I'll lead you beside those still waters and the green pastures. Just let the Lord lead. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. We didn't make ourselves. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. He loves and cares and knows what's best. Let's let him lead. Amen. And be thankful for the fact that he wants to. We find in verses 4 and 5 the last command. Verse 4 says, enter in his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. What's the command here? To enter into his gates with thanksgiving, to be thankful unto him, to bless his name. Why? Because he's good. You know, in the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. And so whenever the people came to the temple or entered into the courtyard, they knew that they were coming into the presence of God. And he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You know, that temple doesn't exist any longer. But you know, for us, the place where we meet together, it's called the house of God, indicating that God is there. But we also know that God is everywhere. We know that God is with us as we drive on the highway down the Richardson back to town. We know that God is with us when we go about our day and our work. We know that God is here when we care for our children and with our families. Every moment of our life, God is there. When we kneel to pray, we enter into his courts. I'm simply saying that he is the reason we ought to be thankful. And he's always there and always with us. We always ought to be thankful. But let me just pose this. What if God began to treat us like we so often treat him? Are you with me here? What if God met our needs to the same extent that we gave him our lives? Would we be needy? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled and complained when God sent the rain? Well, the rain's holding me up, and I can't get done what I want to get done, and I complain about it. What if God stopped loving and caring for me because I failed to love and care for other people? What if he didn't bless me today because I didn't thank him for his blessings yesterday? What if God decided to stop leading me tomorrow because I refused to follow him today? Are you with me here? Psalm 103, verse 10 tells us that God hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And the truth of the matter is, listen, we ought to be thankful and we ought to be glad that God's care and God's love is not based on my performance to him. Even more reason to be thankful unto him and bless his name. Amen? We enter into this week before Thanksgiving. We'll celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And you know, the prayer is that it'll be meaningful for us and for our families and so on. But how is it really going to be meaningful? It's really only going to be meaningful if our mind is turned back to the Lord as the reason for our giving of thanks. You know, read Psalm 100 again. Listen to the commands of the psalm here. And listen, you can't help but think, you know, when my mind is turned to the Lord like this, I consider His blessings to me and how He deals with me, my heart overflows with thanksgiving unto the Lord. I'll close with this story. It kind of puts things into perspective for us some. The title of the story is Take Your Goat Into the Room With You. I got your attention, didn't I? Take your goat into the room with you. Story goes of a man in Budapest who comes to his rabbi one day and he complains to him and he says, Life is so unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. It's terrible. We can't stand it. What can I do? The rabbi answers, Take your goat into the room with you. The man was pretty incredulous, but the rabbi insisted. He said, No, do as I say and come back in a week. A week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than before. And he says, We can't stand it. Life is horrible, he tells the rabbi. The goat is filthy. He stinks all the time and he eats everything that we have, even the clothes that are on our backs. The rabbi then tells him, Well, why don't you go home and let the goat out and come back in a week? A week later, the man comes bursting into the rabbi's room and he's radiant. And he returns and he comes to the rabbi and he says, Life is so beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat and just the 9 of us. You think about this and it gives perspective. Perspective is everything. If we see from the perspective that the Lord is good to us no matter what, if we see from the perspective that the Lord is trustworthy, and the Lord has blessed us abundantly, and the Lord gives to me in spite of my performance to Him. Listen, we don't have time to complain and have a bad attitude because we'll be too busy praising the Lord with a thankful heart. Amen? Perspective. The Lord is always good. He says to come into His courts with praise, to enter His gates with thanksgiving. He says to be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? Because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. He's the reason for thankfulness. And the question is, are we going to be people who fill the table and fill the room with thanksgiving because we're thankful unto Him? And we must bless His name. Amen? Are you with me here? Let's give thanks to the Lord tonight because He's always good to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be thankful people. And many times we'll bow and we'll pray and we'll say, Thank you, Lord. But we don't even really remember what we're thanking the Lord for. So often we're trained to say thank you. We're programmed to say thank you. And we may bow our head and say thank you, Lord, for the food and then forget that we actually prayed and said thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be truly thankful. That we would remember that daily you loadeth us with benefits. Be thankful unto Him. Praise His name. And that it would pour forth from a heart that is truly grateful. And Lord, may we be testimony to this world, proclaiming the goodness of God, blessing His name in front of the people because the Lord is good. And the Bible talks about how our thanksgiving and our praise magnifies the Lord. May that be our heart, to want to magnify You for what You've done for us. We love You, Lord, and we do thank You for Your blessings, for salvation, for this church, for our family. And may it show. In Jesus' name.